It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, last time we talked about problems, the biblical perspective. Now, we've been going through this. We've looked at anger, we've looked at worry, and we've looked at a couple of things. Last time, the last study we looked at was depression, and that we found out that, you know, once again, let me remind you that these things are symptoms of a bigger problem. These things can cause us more problems, more symptoms of the basic problem. But last time we looked at the subject of depression, we found out that for the most part, depression is not doing what God wants us to do. For the saved person, it's not doing what he wants you to do as a saved person, not to be saved again, but because you are saved, we're to do what he wants us to do. And for the unsaved person, that depression comes because you're not doing what God wants you to do, and that is to trust his son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. Well, right now, I'd like for us to look at the symptom of self-pity. Do you remember the story about David? I mean, there were so many things about David, but there was a time when King Saul chased David week after week, month after month, seeking to kill him. Well, David had to live the life of a fugitive, and sometimes he had to hide in caves and other hiding places. It wasn't a good way to live. Well, you see, it's one thing to be a fugitive, and it's another thing to be an innocent fugitive. David had not done anything wrong. He was not guilty of any crime. It would have been quite different if David had murdered the king's own son or stolen the king's gold, but you see, David was innocent. He was being chased without a cause. So what did David do? Often when David was chased by King Saul, he did the right thing. He trusted the Lord and kept his eyes on his God. Now we learn of David's great trust in God as we read many of the Psalms which he wrote, and there was one occasion when David did the wrong thing. He took his eyes off the Lord and began feeling sorry for himself. 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 1, it says there, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand." Well, David was all concerned about himself, and so he decided to have his own pity party. He refused to believe that the God who had taken care of him in the past would continue to take care of him in the future. His pity party lasted for a long time and resulted in much trouble for David. But finally, he got his eyes back on the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." Notice this now. "But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God." You see, David is not that much different than us. There are many times when we do just what David did. There are times when we get our eyes off the Lord and we start feeling sorry for ourselves. This is called self-pity. And this is what the next symptom that we're going to look at, and that is a symptom I've told you about, self-pity. Well, what about pity? What is pity? Well, the word pity means to have compassion, feel sorrow, be concerned for someone, and be sympathetic. In other words, to put yourself in someone else's shoes and feel with them and suffer with them. Pity is something that is good and something that God wants us to have. God wants us to suffer with another person and to feel with them out of compassion and sorrow and deep concern. I'm speaking of pity by itself here, the word pity. Well, God even commands the believer to have pity. And finally, he says, "Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Our God is a God of pity and compassion. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of compassion, according to Romans chapter 9 and verse 15. When the Lord Jesus saw the crowds of people, he moved with compassion, according to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. See, we have a Savior who feels with us and who sympathizes with us and who knows what we go through. We have a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities and weaknesses. And there is a God in heaven who pities man on earth. Well, that's pity. Now, what about the wrong kind of pity? Well, the wrong kind of pity is exhibited here. Pity is something that is very good. Pity is a God-given emotion, but when pity is turned towards self, then it becomes ugly and sinful and destructive. Self-pity is taking that compassion and pity and concern and turning it the wrong way towards self. Pity should reach out towards others. Self-pity does not reach out in a healthy way at all. The believer who indulges in self-pity is complaining about what God has allowed to come into his or her life. The Bible does not use the word self-pity, but there is a word in the Bible that carries this idea. Notice the self-pitying person is the person who frets. Psalm 37 and verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Well, the word fret means to be angry. It means to burn up with passion, to feel sorry for oneself. This is self-pity. Feel sorry for oneself to the point of being very upset and bent out of shape. The word is also found in Psalm 37, verses 7 through 8. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." See, the person who frets is the person who gets all heated up and burned up and irritated and disturbed. This person gets all agitated and disturbed. In Psalm 37, verse 1, there are two things that God tells us not to do. First, he tells us, don't fret. And then he says, don't be envious. Remember, to envy is to burn up with jealousy. In other words, feeling sorry for oneself because of another's advantage or prosperity. Well, the right and wrong pity we see exhibited. The right kind of pity and sorrow is that which will seek to solve and fix my problems and reach out to the ills and aches of others. Now, there is a right kind of pity and sorrow, and there is a wrong kind of pity and sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10 says, "Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, these verses 9 and 10 we just read, we read about two kinds of sorrow. Which is the healthy kind of sorrow? Which is the unhealthy kind of sorrow? Well, the right healthy kind of sorrow is sorrow to repentance. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 9 through 10, and verse 10a says, "For ye were made sorry after a godly manner." And we see the wrong kind of pity we see here, the unhealthy kind of sorrow, is sorrow of the world because it works death, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Well, the right kind of sorrow can produce something that will make me a better person. It can help me to solve my problems. It can produce a true repentance, a genuine change of mind and change of heart that will lead to a change of life. Well, the wrong kind of sorrow, the sorrow of the world, only produces death, according to 2 Corinthians 7:10. Well, notice Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest." Remember, Judas turned Christ in for 30 pieces of silver. He goes on to saying in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 27, Judas saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. and went and hanged himself. Well, did Judas have sorrow? No. Did he have the right kind of sorrow? No. Did he really fix his problem? No. Did he really turn to the Savior? No. He felt sorry for himself to the point of ending his life. The sorrow of the world worketh death. Well, notice two selfers. Psalm 37, verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Psalm 37, verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." A person is not to fret because of the prosperity of the wicked. Now, some people feel sorry for themselves, and they may have this attitude, "Here I am trying to live right and trying to obey God. My neighbor couldn't care less about God, but he seems to be blessed in every way. He has a new house and a new car and everything he needs." That's not fair. I'm the one who should be blessed because I'm the one who is trying to live right. Did you notice here that this pity, this self-pity, also produces covetousness, which is a sin? Well, something that Mr. Fret should realize, this is the person who's fretting. 37 and verse 2 of Psalm says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Instead of fretting, there are four things that Mr. Fret should do. First, he needs to trust in the Lord and do good. Psalm 37 and verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Next, he should delight in the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And then he should commit his way to the Lord and trust in him. Psalm 37 verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And then rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Psalm 37, verse 7. Now, there's many other verses that I could share, but today I'd like for you to know that God's answer to self-pity is found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul the Apostle said this, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You see, this is God's word. Paul was simply a messenger. God breathed these words. Paul simply was one who was experiencing these things in his life. He said, "Be careful for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." That's the answer to self-pity. David did what Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says before it was even pinned down. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself," what? "In the Lord, his God." David encouraged himself in the Lord, not in himself. Are you doing this? Should you be doing this, Christian? You should not have that self-pity. You should be having pity for those people in this world. Tell them about Jesus Christ. And if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to do that. You need to let God take you and make a new creature out of you. Old things will pass away. All things will become new, because you will be a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ by calling upon him. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans chapter 10 and verse 13.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.